Earth to Donna. Come in, Donna. Donna, Donna. Donna, are you there? Earth to Donna.
Hello.
They got her. They got her. Oh my gosh, Donna, there you are. We were all sweating bullets. Oh my gosh, I the sweat was coming off my brow. I had to take my hat off and wipe my brow off. I was sweating for you. We were going to send search and rescue. I was pulling a posse together right now. Get the horses out. Where's the saddles? Don't forget the cookies. Don't forget the cookies. We got a posse, but don't forget the cookies. I am not leaving in a posse searching for Donna without an adequate supply of monster cookies.
Thank you, Juan. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you. Sorry, you know, sometimes electronics, they glitch, and I had to go out and come back in because it wouldn't let me open up my button. So,
all right.
I have a couple things, actually. First, I would love to know, are we still going to get your next edition of your book?
Yes.
For those that, I mean, I purchased mine, what has it been, almost 2 years ago, I think.
Well, let me just say something real quick on that. There was something that happened behind the scenes, and I'm addressing it. Those that did that pre-purchase, I think you'll be very, very happy you did. And it will be very exclusive to you. I think you'll be very satisfied with what I've come up with the resolution. And you will have been well served. I would have liked to have had that done previous, but we're pretty close. And the book is written. But I think everybody will understand when I do what I do, what was going on. So in the meantime, I will not say more on it for the moment, but I think you'll be very satisfied. Okay?
Well, I can tell you I'm very satisfied because I have many of your items already, your other editions, your
jacket.
Yeah,
you guys are special. Are special. And I want to make sure that you know that. And so I will deal with that in a special way. So anyway, go
ahead.
Thank
you. Okay, my other question would be, what recommendations do you have for us here in California, and who can we actually trust in California? I mean, are we being actually broken up into two states? You know, you hear things, you know, it's so hard to know at this point.
There's stuff that I don't want to get us ahead of ourselves. For a period of time, part of what happens isn't states but regions. And again, it's just to get us through a wonky moment here. And then it's fully the states. And the reality is, I get it. You know, there's a number of states, you know, Oregon, the interests of the people in Eastern Oregon are really very different from Western. Same thing up in Washington State. They're really two different types of economies, the farming and then the industry and the shipping and all that. You know, even more so than, say, Oregon just below it. But that's not uncommon in every state. Everybody thinks that, you know, oh, no, it's so different between Northern and Southern California that can never be reconciled. You know what? That's when you have more than one income stream. When Texas, when we dropped the price of oil down below 10 bucks a barrel briefly, but down into the very low teens, steadily, and nearly wiped out Texas while we were trying to break the monetary supply to the Soviet Union with the oil and gas prices. What saved Texas was we brought in the technology, we pushed more money into NASA, pushed more money into the university system and training and stuff like that, education, to keep the state afloat. If Texas hadn't had that on the technology side, they might not have made it. Having a state where you have heavy agriculture, different types of economies across the state. It's actually part of the stability of the state. And so, yeah, it's a big state, but, you know, it also, you break it in half, instead of being the 10th largest economy in the world, if you were a country, you drop down the list to like 75th or something. It's pretty radical for each side. And there's a lot of interests that are far more commingled than people want to admit, things like the dam system, the water system and all that, and the agreements. Re-engineering that stuff, oh my gosh. People think that it's easy, but you'd spend 50 years just trying to unravel all the drama that you'd create. I think it's a far wiser, healthier thing to get control of the politics where it's, you know, I was having a conversation the other day, a friend of mine, when he knew where I was at, flew over from Europe because we had business we needed to talk about related to some of the vote stuff. While we were talking about that, we were talking about his dad who passed away several years ago, and I saw him just in the last little bit before he passed away, and spent a couple days with him. And he had been one of the investigators that had gone after the on the Gladio project, which was the secret societies that were running Italy. And one of the things, and he had actually been a member, so he wasn't talking, you know, just, you know, peripherally. He had a change of heart and felt that what he'd been involved in was something that he didn't want to stain his soul going into the next world. And but the point was is that in Italy, they would constantly keep the government in turmoil. There was always drama going on. And about the time it looked like people were going to get together and coalesce and agree, one of the factions would go crazy and the government would collapse and they'd have to reorganize. The splintered, fractured aspect of the government was being used as a control mechanism by the secret handshake operation. And they didn't want everybody to get united. That's California. Your people that are running your government, the people that are puppeteering your population or your politicians in California want the disagreement because they use that to their advantage to keep control. It's a divide and conquer thing. That's what the way the Brits go into a region. That's what was going on in Syria. When Benghazi happened, what I explained at the time was that you had a gun running operation that was being orchestrated out of Libya. And the guns were being run up to Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan on the periphery of Syria, and they were getting ready to cause a civil war in Syria. McCain and that crew were behind it. Hillary and the State Department, all those people, CIA, everybody else, they were going to break up Syria into three sections. The Brits were right in the middle of it. The Israelis were right in the middle of it. They wanted to break Syria into three pieces. And then while the three warring groups are divided, they were going to run a pipeline from Saudi Arabia and all the refineries and all that, all the way up to Europe, be the new energy supplier to Europe for the next 100 years. That was the plan through Turkey. Everybody was in on it. But they had to have the chaos of Syria in three pieces so they didn't have anybody to oppose them. And they could do what they wanted to do, constantly maintaining peace between the three groups. That's what they want in California. And they want to break you up so they can manage you better. And they technically have, using the politics, just like Italy, you're so fractionalized. But part of what's coming is that California, for example, California voted for Trump. California was totally red. This is the California that voted for Reagan. It's only through vote fraud and manipulation that you've got a lot of the people in office that you do. If the true vote, the true numbers, look, the other thing is the recall, Newsom was out. It was fraud down in L.A. County that pushed it over the top. And I think that's still going to come out and be known also and needs to. So it's not that the people of California don't get it. It's that the fraud is strong enough and pervasive enough and has not been exposed enough that you look more divided than you actually truly are, and your interests aren't being served. When you get it right, and I think you're going to, actually California, there's a reason why California, if it was a country, would be the 10th largest economy in the world. It's an amazing place. Look, I lived up in Montecito for a long time. I love California. And I would love to be back up there on the hillside. You know, I was there up above the little yellow house up in Ortega. Had stuff up there near Westmont. And I spent a lot of years up there. And I love that exact area. It's an amazing location. It's changed a lot since I lived there, and it'd be a little hard for me to adjust. But Jen and I actually went out and I looked at spots over by Hope Ranch, on the other side of Hope Ranch there towards the water. I love that area. But on the tax situation, everything else, California's, until it gets its act together, I'll probably just have to settle for, you know, visiting. If there was one state that I just would love to see pull it together as a group, it's California. And they can. You know, one other thing, just thinking about it right this second, I got one of my Bentleys out there. Because they got all the shops. It's one of the few places I can get things worked on. And it's a classic, 30-year-old car, but it's so unique and unusual. Well, there's so many other people that think like I do that like that kind of old stuff and have those skill sets. Because it's a very prosperous area. People from all over the world love to be there. It's a fun place to be. But the politics, man, the politics, and it's not the politics that would be if you had the people you actually voted in office running the place. It's the politics of the people that have stolen California from the people. I think we're going to win California back. I look forward to a time when I can be back in California and enjoying it all the way to the north, all the way to the south. If you've never taken a cruise with the top down in your hot rod up Highway 1, that is probably one of the most memorable times I ever had in my whole life. Came back, had been ventilated a little bit with some lead, and I was recovering, and took the slow road all the way up the coast. Took about 3 weeks to get through California and another couple weeks through Oregon, and just enjoying the drive on the coast. But there's nothing beats that, Big Sur and, the Hearst Castle to see what was there and all the wonderful things. Oh, it's one of my favorite drives in the world.
How are we doing on time, Juan? How much time do you think you have left?
I've got a few more minutes. Mrs. Savin is probably waiting for me anxiously because I've been busy all day. Literally, anybody that thinks she complains, yesterday I was on meetings or phone calls for about 14 hours. She added it all up. And today with this, I'm probably pushing 16 or more. But yeah. I'm here right now, and she's not right here. I think she's sleeping. And so I can take a few more minutes, and she won't know the difference. Don't anybody tell her, though. I'll tell her, like, well, it depends on what time I got in. But I got in, you know, and she might not look at the clock. So.
All right. Then. Well, we're going to go to Rick, and after Rick, we're going to go to Miss America, and then we'll let you get back.
All right. Beautiful.
We don't want to make the wife mad.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
Okay, Rick 007, you're up.
Hi, Juan.
Hey.
I'm a huge fan. I got your 2023 silver. I got the 2024 on order. But my best prize.
Well, that's not the one you got on order. That's not the 2024. The 2024 Megador. I haven't released that yet. I'm gonna do that maybe a month or two. We've already got the die's already been cut, but the one that you've got on order that's in the black bag, you're gonna love it, I believe. And it's really cool. Now, we were going to release the image of it yesterday, and then Jen and I were going through it, and we hadn't been able to get some of the stuff until yesterday to see it, and saw a couple little things, and we said, no, I want to make sure that gets changed. They were relatively minor, but when you're having the dye done and all that, we both agreed, no, just hold, let them get it exactly where we want it. So probably sometime Monday, we will actually release what it looks like and what it's all about. But you're going to be, I think, very satisfied with it. And in fact, if you notice today, the silver went up between yesterday and today, a total of almost a dollar. So, wow. But it's in a range. It fusses around back and forth. And you've got heavy control by BlackRock and a couple of the banks that are in that thing. It's being manipulated very heavily. When silver breaks, it's going to be, you know, one of those things where I think you're going to see it rise up fairly radically, fairly quickly. And we're in that zone now where the financial chaos is something that the bad guys are really going to need. So to further throw us into chaos, if they can do it, it's the last card they have to play. It was the last card we had that we played when we took down the Soviet Union. And they're following that playbook in many ways, but it's an inverse of the playbook because they didn't have a Federal Reserve like we have. And they didn't have the same kind of a military industrial machine. So their end game is the same as what we had when we took down the Soviet Union. But some of the steps are inverse of what we did to take down the Soviet Union just because of how our economy is set up. So silver, I think you're investing for the far side of the crisis. And so I think silver's a great play. Normally I don't push the numismatic stuff, but you know, our coin has collector value beyond it. But I will say, just, you know, so it's not self-serving. If somebody's making an investment to have spendable money on the far side of the crisis or in the interim, I recommend the bag silver, which has no collector value. It's just by the weight, but it's U.S. coin. You can take Canadian and even Mexican because they're pretty good on the purity and like that. And they're known weights and values and like that. But I prefer U.S. because it is constitutional money. And then you're just really buying it for the weight. And all you're trying to do is to, it's like musical chairs. You have a solid place to sit when the music stops. When it restarts, there's less players and your position's more valuable. There'll be a lot of wonky, false places that people put money. Collector cars, not a great investment because people are going to be worried about getting the country going again, and there might not be as many people interested in your collector car or art. You want things that do work, a piece of machinery, something that you can make money with. But then again, is it going to be farming or is it going to be a lathe or a machine shop? If you have a business or a skill set where you can turn stuff on a lathe that's, you know, create parts that guys need for their heavy equipment or tractors or something like that, or parts for heavy equipment that makes, you know, things go down the road, maybe that's where you put your investment because it's what you do. But you're going to want to not have your wealth in your retirement, probably in real estate or in a bank. And so having it in something that has relative real value so that when the music restarts, you don't leave it in metals, you reinvest it. It's a temporary parking spot, and then it's something that will be readily recognizable and people will want it, know what it's worth, and want to use it on the far side. And some things will have some collector value. I think that, you know, the Megador and some of the other stuff we're doing will have great collector value down the road in a stable environment, and it's a marker, and we've done limited numbers on them. But if you're doing this to have a way to put food on the table, or you're betting the farm or something, get bag silver, junk silver is what they call it. Not silver bars, not gold bars, whatever, just a coin, because it is real money, constitutional money. It has a known weight value based on that. And then if you're doing other stuff, just like with the coins we're doing, those are pretty cool. But I wouldn't want you to bet the farm on that because you can get a little bit better buy per ounce of the silver the other way. I think that, you know, I don't want to, in other words, yeah. I don't self-serve.
I did buy some other silver, and I did receive a Megador poster from you also, which was a last gift from my dad before he passed away. And you actually, by random, signed it the date that he passed. So it's really special hanging on my wall.
Wow. Well, so, I'm sorry, I went off on a tirade, but I want people out there, look, I'm thinking of everybody out there, honestly. I don't want to tell you something that I wouldn't tell, you know, my best, closest ally. I'm trying to be as square with you as I can. Yes. I see things a certain way, but every one of the people here in this audience, you're all survivors. You're here right now. You got your brain, you know, at least probably pretty close to in the right place. You know, we see things a little different on a number of different things, but to the 80th percentile, we're closing ranks with each other. Going into what we're going into, I want everybody to kind of understand the logic, make square decisions, make the best decisions possible. And then some people have more room to be a little wilder, take a little chance here and there. Others, you're close enough. It's just like what I said at the beginning, you know, gosh, I hate to send guys off traipsing across the country when they're already cutting it close. Like, that is going to save the country. We're in a different mode. Don't fight the last war. Be anticipating where this whole thing's going and get ready for it and be in the right position, ready to go with where this thing is going, not where we've been. The way the fight was being fought and stuff we were doing and why we did it was not wrong, but we're changing our modus operandi. And now we're going into a different phase of the war. Think accordingly, operate accordingly. And if you've got a little more room, you got a little bit to do stuff, that's fantastic. And we enjoy doing the jackets and the coins and all that. They're fantastic. They're a lot of fun. And I think it's a good tool, just like the coin. It's a challenge coin. you know, I hand it to the president to do the challenge coin handoff. And he's looking at his golf pants, and he doesn't have a coin to come back at me with. And then he pops his hand over and looks at it, and puts on a, oh, well, I could beat this anyway. Sticks it in his pocket. Yeah, so it was kind of fun. But, you know, think about it. We even use that. You know, I've used it in some pretty interesting situations. I was with the president of another country here a few weeks back and gave him one, handed off, and then and to his head of security. Well, shoot, every guy in there, they wanted to help every door, every angle, in and out of the cars and everything else because, you know, I only had 20 coins on me. And I gave them all out to various of the staff, and then they were gone. And, you know, one of his guys said, When you come back, will you have more?
Thank you, Juan.
I have to have 40 of them or something for the way back. But, you know, just I just want everybody – I slowed down on this because you mentioned it. Everybody have your heads on straight. You do need to be thinking in terms of being viable, not getting off on – you know, too gimmicky or just playing around, the very serious moments just ahead. That extra little measure to batten down the hatches, kind of be prepared for it. It may be a little while off yet, but every day you get to kind of be a little more squared away, prepared, not off wild on the latest thing is that's just smart right now. And I want everybody in here to be smart. So on the far side of this, you know, when we're talking about this, yeah, you know what? I didn't do this, and I got my shit together, and I was there for my neighbor. I was there for my brother. I was there for my friend. Absolutely. To pull us all through. Because you're the ones that will be the ones that other people will be going to. Well, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think this means? How should I do this or that? You'll be the leaders. You'll be the head and not the tail in what's coming because you made an investment of, you know, your thoughts, your moments to have it halfway together. And even if you're in a pause moment, you'll be the one that's read up that can explain something. You'll be the one that has an extra book on the shelf to say, well, hey, take a read at this. You know, it was interesting, just as an aside, in that same situation, I only had three books with me. And I, in that particular situation, because I just happened to have three books with me, and I didn't plan it even. I didn't realize I had them in a flap in my carry-on. And so one of them I signed and I gave to a particular minister of a particular department there. And So about a month and a half went by, and I get this detailed thing back that was something that I had looked at, and I said, you know, I don't think you're on the right track here. I don't think you understand what's going on. So he reads the book, gets back to me, and he wants to make sure I know that he's included this, but it's from this page, and you mentioned that, and so now I understand I did this and this and this. You don't know where... You know, I remember when I was young, one of the key things that happened to me was there was a minister that gave me a book on physics because I'd expressed a little bit of an interest in it and tied it to some religious principles and like that. And it looked the wonkiest thing. It was this big yellow book, and it was, you know, I was, you know, not excited. It wasn't a cool looking book. It was cumbersome and all that. I put it in a backpack that I had because I was taking a long bicycle ride for a week all by myself. I had a beautiful new bike that I bought. And so I went camping and took this long bike ride. And I read that book through in that week, and it changed the way that I looked at everything. The physics changed my perspective on how I thought about God and the organization of the world and all sorts of wild things. And I've got the book somewhere. But I remember just the impact that the book had on me, making me think and look at things in a whole different way. When people are in crisis, but they can't go anywhere, they can't do something, they just have to hunker down for a little bit, you're going to have some people who are going to be maybe more interested in looking. Jen gave the book The Naked Communist, which had a huge impact on her. And she was living in China when she read it. She gave that to somebody, and 3 months ago or whatever, at Christmas time, the week before Christmas. And they just got back to her just the other day and says, "Hey, I just read that book." "Oh, really?" "Yeah. Wow." And this is somebody who was in their late 20s. And it was just a complete revelation to them. That's the way you're going to be. People are going to be looking to you. You've got it together. They think you've got a few things. But sometimes you don't articulate it quite the right way, or they ask a question that you're not maybe the expert on, but yet you've read it, you know it, you've got a reference piece that you can give them. They're going to be ready to hear. And they might not be ready to hear your voice say it, but they might be ready because you've got that right tool and you're the person that can convey it because they're asking questions. That's the mental zone I think we have to be in, because that's how we get enough Americans to right the ship of state and, you know, get the country back on the right track. So anyway, I'm sorry. That was more than what your original question was. Now ask your question.
Well, I was just wondering how our 401s would be. Will they be okay on the other side, or are we going to be looking to roll those out? Thank you.
Boy, you know, I don't want to be the guy who gives financial advice. That said, and the dollar is going to be stronger after all this. We're going to take them all on. We're going to be the last man standing and all that. But again, part of the question is, what is the dollar? Is the dollar the Federal Reserve note? Look at what Kennedy did with the silver back, okay? Silver certificates. Are we going back to constitutional money, constitutional dollars? What's constitutional money? Gold and silver. So minted by the U.S. Treasury, okay, and not by the Federal Reserve, a private organization, no more federal than Federal Express. If your wealth is denominated in Federal Reserve notes, I think you're in a very dangerous situation. And you've got a window. I would not screw around. I would get out of the way. You don't have a very long stretch, even when you've got a lot of money in there. Now, that said, I turned down a couple of different times now a very senior position on a publicly traded company. I have a lot of interest in it, and I may yet do that at some point in time. And I've really debated back and forth, but the problem is everything there is denominated in dollars, and I could put a whole bunch of effort in there, and what have I got? I got something where I can't get out of it except in Federal Reserve notes, and I'd have all this time and effort and everything else, and it's a worthy situation. But I have been hesitant to have critical moments, critical days tied up in something that all I'm getting out of it is dollars when the country's on the line. Would I be willing to do that at a later point in time? Yes. If, for example, in Argentina, the president of Argentina, after he, the new president, he made it legal for businesses in Argentina to do their business in any currency they chose, without any regard to the taxes. They could do it in cryptos, they could do it in gold or silver directly, they could do it in pounds, euros, the BRICS money, didn't care. Just get the business done. The country's in deep trouble, and everybody, it's a free-for-all. You decide what the best thing to have your money in or to trade in, you know, go make money. And so in dealing with one of the merchants here where we have something that's being made, I asked him what he preferred. And he wanted dollars. And so I said, good, don't sit on very long. He says, no, I'll be gone by this afternoon. Because he was going to buy materials that he needed to keep his business going. His best investment is the material that he uses every day. And that's what he needs to trade in, not in gold or silver or anything else. So that's a pretty good rule. Farmers need a good tractor. They need a place to store stuff. They need crates to move stuff around. They need gas and fuel. What are you investing in? The things that make it possible for me to do my business. Your 401k is a store of wealth, but you're trying to let it work in the markets. The problem is, what if it doubles in value? Okay. And what if the dollars that you're holding it in go down significantly? And on top of that, you got to pay a tax to get it back. What if they go up in value? What if it doubles in dollar value, but the dollars that you get by half as much? And then you got to pay taxes on it in the meantime. Then you got to not take it out before they let you take it out, and blah, 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 blah. I think in this wacky moment, it's musical chairs. I would probably look seriously at converting it into, there's things you can do in a 401k that allow you to hold that material in your personal possession, still maintain the tax status, but it's an investment denominated in gold or silver. Right now, for the next, you know, 14 to 18 months, I'd rather have gold and silver. Past that, I'd have other things probably, because I'd be ready to reinvest. America's going to win this. American people are going to win this, but we're going to go through some real dire moments. And our opponents are going to go through worse moments, and a lot of places around the world are going to go through much worse moments. If you're halfway viable and you got something that's got real value, chances are pretty good you're going to have something to trade with and re-enter the market. And then you'll be on the rebuilding of America. You'll be on the right team, the right situation, the right time. I'd go make hay. But in the meantime, that Federal Reserve money, even the reorienting, when we switch back to different currency, there's going to be a price to that. And it's not going to go to zero. It's not going to be worthless, but it is going to get hurt. And I think you don't want to get hurt with it. That's the club that we're fighting. So you're going to be denominated in the stuff that the club we're fighting denominates in. I don't think that makes sense.
Okay, we're going to sneak in Diane, who promised to have a very quick question, and then we'll end with Miss America. So go ahead, Diane.
Okay, this is me being quick. Hi, Juan. We love you here.
Yeah.
And I just have a little word for you before I ask my question, which is,
okay,
out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why quietness and confident trust is your strength. Isaiah 30:15.
Yes. That's a beautiful scripture. It's one of my very favorite. Yep.
So my question is this. Has Antarctica, no, is it now under the control of the Alliance? Thank you.
Nope. Fight's on. Don't get ahead of where we're at in this. You're dealing with something that's far more complex than most people are understanding, and it's not confined to a continent. It's global in nature at this point in time. There may be some certain aspects of it that are very centrally located. The fact that Obama had to go there do it in person because they couldn't trust any other communications because they're all compromised at this point in time doesn't mean they don't have players all over the world. We're fighting a group that is a global alliance that has a very precise understanding of where they want to go. And they're monolithic, and they are everywhere, and very pervasive. So to only understand it as though we go blow up one, you know, location and that solves the problem is not understanding the problem at all. There's a lot of considerations that go into this. It's not as simple as it would seem, you know, they're there, we're here, go take them out. The infiltration is so complete. An enemy has come in and sown weeds in amongst the good seed. So you have to consider that you're going to go someplace that is, you're going to go someplace that is relatively safe. Where is that place? There is no safe place. They're not confined to one place. They've got their representatives too. You go out and pull up the weeds, you pull up the good ones with it. We've been fighting a war that's been going on for quite a while. It's in an advanced stage. And now is the winnowing. That's what we're really coming into is a winnowing moment. We find out who's the good ones and who's the bad ones. And they're revealing themselves. They're showing their hand. And, you know, you will know them by their fruits. Okay. Some of the people that you thought were good guys are going to turn out to be bad guys. Some of the people you thought were bad guys, they weren't as bad as you thought. You know, I'll use this as an example. There's a particular politician that is painful. And Trump is in association with them and is in this circle where he's got him there all the time. Shoot, you know, I sat a table away from him while they had a meeting there at Mar-a-Lago some time back. And I talked about it to my guys as being, you know, I had a barn cat, big old barn cat, and just as gnarly as can be. And he was a big barn cat. And if he got a really good mouse or rat or something like that, he'd bring it to the porch at the farm and he'd put it right there on the steps to where I couldn't go around him, and he'd have it alive. So he'd have his paw on its tail, it'd be half beaten, it'd have his paw on its head or something. And I'd come back or I'd wake up or whatever, and there's the cat. I mean, it was cat. I didn't even have a name for it. It's a barn cat. He was there when I bought the farm, but he had to show me every time he got a really good rat and put it right on the porch, you know, blading out there, eyes half crossed. You know, if it tried to get away, he'd whack it and hold it there until I got there to see it. Then as soon as I saw it, and I'd be like, oh, okay, he'd leave the thing there. I'd have to grab it and get rid of it. He'd be go out chasing, but I'd always gave him something for doing it. He knew he'd get a reward. And he just loved it. I compared that to Trump. Trump's there with this particular politician at the table. And I got some great pictures too of it, but I won't make them public because it'd not be right. He's playing with this politician like that cat played with the rat. Okay. So one of the people in the coalition was there. And asked Trump directly, you know, why do you have this person around you? Don't you realize who they are and all this and everything else? And he says, trust me, there's a reason. You're just going to have to trust me on it. It's chess at multiple levels. Why, when you're playing chess, you might have a key player in some position of the other team, but he's right in proximity to you, but you don't take him. We have other moves to make. And oftentimes, he has to move to allow somebody else to move. If you take him, you open up something for something else more. You start a fight. But oftentimes, you'll get him in a get a player in a position where they can't move without you just being able to take him in one move instead of two. And then you just leave him. Why? Because it closes off a corner of the board, some space in the board that the enemy can't come through. And they're frozen out by their own guy in the way. And they, you know, so they got to move their own guy back a space or two to clear a path for you to come through. Even with the ability to have different types of moves with a rook or a knight or a bishop. And that's the way I view that particular player. There's people that have been left on the board in strategic locations that in reality, you're shaking your head. You're just like, why? Trust me. He fills a certain role. There's a reason we need him there. And, you know, we're very aware of who he is. It's the same thing in the game that we're doing here. There's some things that defy logic, but there is a plan. And if it was obvious, maybe we wouldn't be as effective in the end as we need to be. You know, being having a little bit of being a little bit sneaky is not a wrong maneuver. All right.
Okay, Miss America, you're up last. And thanks, Juan. I really appreciate all your time and your answering all the questions. We've really enjoyed having you. Miss America, you're up.
Juan, can you hear me, Juan?
I can hear you. It's amazing. Oh, my gosh. America lives.
I love the new jacket. Please send my compliments to Mrs. O'Sullivan. It is absolutely gorgeous. I am so excited.
Yeah, the 2020 jacket, that is fun. She just posted that today. That's it's got all the words to the song. In fact, there's a thing up in Chicago tomorrow that I'm going to, phone into. And a bunch of the people have their Megador jackets, and they're going to sing the 2020 song. And I've signed all the jackets for the people that are up to that Chicago thing, and that's going to be a blast, but it's the 2020 song. Jen worked on that jacket for a while and trying to get just the right combination. She had the colors subtle on the words and not the full black, and she tried a couple of different things, and then she finally ended up on that combination. And you know, if you look at the art that Jennifer has done over all of this time, the last, 5-6 years now, she's an amazing, she has an amazing eye for these things, the color and everything else. And I think as a community, you look at all of the things, even like, you know, I think of the movie, The Called, that we did, and the poster that she did for that. It's so fun. She got everything in there. And of course we work together on that stuff. She'll ask me, what do you think of this? Well, I'll do that. Or you need to have this or something, you know, the Megador, when I looked over her shoulder and kind of, you know, told her exactly what to do and where to put every mark and every last thing. It was all my creation. But anyway, it's a good thing she's not listening. She has really added a lot of fun to what we're doing. And this latest jacket the yellow is fun because it stands out in the crowd. You can watch a crowd at any Trump event and you can pick the people out with the Megador jacket all over the place. And it's just a blast because, you know, oh, there's one of the folks here. There's one of the folks there. Very unique and fun. This one is, you'll be able to pick it out of a crowd too, but it will be a little bit more subtle. It's a little different direction, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And then, by the way, there's just a tiny handful of something extremely cool that's coming, but it's a few months out. But we have something that people are going to be, I think, really excited about too, but it'll be a rarefied air for it. But we have something along these same lines in the bomber jacket coming. So anyway, just there you go. So what's your question? What happened? Did we lose Miss America? Is she gonzo?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me,
Juan? Oh, my gosh. I thought we lost you. I was about to send out, you know, search and rescue.
Jeez. No, sir. So I am one of the few that really appreciates your, as you called them, long-winded answers. Okay. So I'm going to appreciate your time, but I'm going to set you up a little bit. So I had the great honor of meeting you in Chicago, and I happened to be number 45, and 47 showed up. 46 never showed up. So that being said, that was in Chicago. So if you're ever in the Midwest again, I would appreciate breaking bread with you and, you know, maybe have a conversation in front of the bonfire that you spoke about. But as a collective, I think there are a lot of biblical signs. I mean, you've touched on so many of them over your conversations with people. You know, everything from the 17 and the 13 year cicadas coming out at the same time this year. And it's the first time I believe they're meeting in 201 years, to earthquakes and volcanoes. An uprising
and an eclipse. An eclipse coming in a few days. Eclipse.
Yes, and that's an important one, right?
Yeah.
So even in the planetary alignments, right? I mean, what is?
And by the way, that's symbolic. There is a spiritual aspect, a symbolic kind of a thing, but at a certain level, we're not. Slaves to the numbers or to even these physical bodies, etc. We are the owners of the earth and everything's in it. And we are not the creation does not reign and rule over us because God put us in the authoritarian position over this world and everything that's in it. He gave it to us as a gift. So when these things happen, there's a occult side that we're in the machine, in the matrix. And so we have to align our thoughts, our ways, our actions to the machine work of the matrix, the creation. And you know, to get the energy, the strength, if we just align ourselves with where Mother Nature is going, what's been put in place in the clock. And we're certainly aware of that, but we are not reigned and ruled over by that. We are the ones in the control position over that. And so we do not... you know, act as though, you know, these things control us. Does that make sense? Or is that clicking for you?
Absolutely. What are you most, I mean, there's all these signs, right? From a biblical reference and from the illusional reference, right? There's so many illusions that are going on. What excites you most? And then if you would just please take us out in prayer, I would really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Well, the thing that is the most exciting about this moment in history is exactly what this group of people represent. The people that try to own where we're going by owning the words, you know, woke. So in trying to get ahead of us as the population is waking up, they've tried to own this word woke, but in a nefarious way, in a way that doesn't, that's not positive, good, whatever, and it damages us. They are trying to divert us to do their work their way. It's the devil's plan. But in spite of that, we're not, we are coming alive. We are becoming alert to what's going on. And if they try to demean or damage how we look by branding us with certain words or owning words and taking them away from us for part of our vocabulary, that's why these rallies, like a Trump rally, you get to be around like-minded people. You create your own culture, your own ways of communicating. Within a chat group like this, you get to be around other like-minded people, and you kind of sift through and you find your sea legs of communication. I had something that was kind of a critical thing this week that came up, and the paper that was written, the person speaks English very, very well, went to Harvard, but there was certain terminology used in the paper that was going to be read by quite a few people. And I says, you know, I think that doesn't say what you think it says, because you're understanding what the meaning of each word is, but those are captured words at this point in time. I think we can find other words that convey the same message, but aren't easy to misunderstand just because somebody's using them in the way they say things. We're, as a community, finding our own way of communicating. You know, in World War II, we had the wind talkers, where there was no written language amongst the Indians. And so they only had a verbal language, and then they could talk between each other. They only knew each other's language. Then they would translate it into English for their command personnel. So if anybody tapped into a radio line and listened, it was gibberish. And by the way, just as a little side note, every one of those talkers had a person assigned to them who, if they were about to be captured or compromised, it was their job to kill them so that they could not be converted into a tool for the enemy to decipher those communications. That security was considered that tight that they couldn't lose one single man. And every one of those code talkers knew the man that was with them wasn't just there to protect him, but in a worst case scenario, to execute him so they couldn't be captured. They understood that going in, and they took the assignment. We, as a group, what's most exciting to me is that we as a group, you represent a fraction of it, and yet it's the same group. Each group's a little different, like a musical note. but when you take them, they still fit in the bars of the music. They still fit in the parameters of the range of the music. We have a very unique kind of a sound, a voice, a music that we as patriots have across the country. And there may be some that are concerned about issues within sovereignty. There may be others that are interested in issues related to taxes or how this we are on the same team and we're within the parameters of the music sheet. We're starting to work very well together and make music. This is this coalescing moment where it's all starting to gel right now. And what sounded like the orchestra, everybody's playing a different note and they're out of key and everything else. We've been, you know, in the orchestra pit starting to get it together. And now we're about to make great music. And while we're doing that, on the stage behind us, there's going to be an incredible drama play out, and it's going to be gripping, and it's going to be, you know, shocking, at moments horrifying. And you're going to have plenty of reasons to laugh and cry. But we're about to go through this national drama. You're the ones that give some kind of a graceful note to it, that bring resolution to the hard moments, that draw attention to stark spectacles at critical moments in this national play. And that's something amazing. If you've ever been to any to a really truly great musical, you know, Music Man, Phantom of the Opera, something like that, you are the group that will give the music, the conversation, the melody to what happens in the country, that people down the road, when you leave a great musical, that song, that melody, if it's successful, you're humming it, not just for a few minutes, but for days, weeks afterwards, and it can come back to you and you can savor it. You're going to get the moment to savor. That's why I like the jackets. That's why I like the coins. That's why I enjoy signing the books and putting a date on it, because it's an early adopter. You were at a particular moment. You can remember where we were in this whole national drama that date. It's a slice in time. And what was going on just then. I have a handful of books that I signed while I was down in Antarctica that I'm going to send out, for the people that ordered them for that little sign thing when I was gone. And so there's only a few of them, but I did that because I wanted to do something special for people that would be very, very unique. And so they'll find out when they get it, you know, and it's not stuff I'm doing now in the future. I just had some for something unique there to, you know, honor a few people where I was when those orders came in. And, but the reason I say that is because, down the road on the far side of all of this, to your children and grandchildren, even with the 2023 coin, with other things that's happened and things that are to come, you have little, touchstones, mile markers, places in the music, and you'll be able to hum to it and remember what it was like when things are better down the road and we've actually pulled through, even when things are hard in the near term right now and go through some very huge trauma. You'll be able to take some comfort knowing that, no, there is a plan. And we've seen past all of this. We've anticipated it. What we didn't get here without some understanding of what was going to have to happen to get the country back and the dramas that would happen in the meantime. And down the road, when people start to forget, it's not as fresh. You'll have some talismans of the period to share, some touchstones to explain for generations to come what the value and the price of the freedom that we will have as a people, that pilgrim's progress that we all went through to end up where we are down the road in a period of prosperity again. And as we take on the next phase of the mission, which is to go out and be salt and light to the world, bring the same kind of liberty and peace to the world and sing the song other places, to be God's servants and tools in his work to have this world be a world of good and not of evil. If you're a tool of God, do you think he leaves them idle very long? And when he does pull them out to use them, how important is that purpose? Every person here, let me just say my prayer with you. Father God, I pray that you would make special blessing for each person here who have taken time out of their life in this world to choose to be part of this retaking of America, this stopping those that would steal our life energy and divert it to do evil, that would take our life energy and corrupt it where it does not do the good that you intended. I pray for each person here that you would give them a special word out of your scripture, a special song that's unique to them in this moment, that is their place as a tool in your hand to do good, to overcome evil, to be light, to be a place of provision for those who didn't understand the moment, didn't see it coming, and have need and need to bridge through. I pray, Father God, that you would anoint each of these here for the battle ahead, to give them safety by your angels, that your hand would be there to protect them from every evil, that those that would come against them to do evil against them or to the people around them, that you would give them special provision and special protection to be able to overcome the enemy and to overcome evil wherever they find it, to be messengers of truth and life and restoration back to a solid foundation for America, so that we can have America as a launching point to go out to the rest of the world to do good and to not be our brother's keeper, but to be our brother's brother, to bring peace into the world where your way, your government reigns supreme. I ask you that you would give each person here a clarion crispness in the note that they ring, that they resonate with a beautiful note that complements other people around them who are also patriots, that they make a type of a patriot music in the way that they resonate with constitutional understanding, the divine values that are a mark of your people. I pray that you would make perfect provision for them so that they have not only what they need and what the people in their immediate
area of authority and responsibility need, but also for those whom they don't even know at this exact moment, that they would be salt and light, that they would have the materials which are needed in their care in reserve so that they can help bridge others around them through. And they will be remembered on the far side of this for their preparedness, for their clarity of mind in the way that they have viewed where the world's going and where America's going, and that they will be the head and not the tail in their families, in their work environment, in their communities, in the choices they make for their investments and the choices they make for their household, so that they will have wherewithal on the far side of these things to be part of the rebuilding of America, the reconstituting of the American mentality and dream from a pilgrim side, even before there was a constitution, looking towards your government, Father God, a government of peace and beauty and truth and life and growth, with abundance for the world ahead, so that we can be about your work. I thank you for each one present, and I thank you that you will deal with each one of them personally according to their commitment to deal with you, Father, and to engage you. And we thank you, Father, for all of these blessings, all of these provisions, for your presence, for the blood of your sacrifice to your Son that makes it possible for us to engage with you and to know you and to be in the family of our Father in heaven via the blood of Christ. Thank you for all of that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank you so much, Juan, for giving us your time and giving us that prayer. And hopefully we can have you on again. Really appreciate everything you do.
Hey, I appreciate everything everybody in this audience does. You guys are my favorite people, and I look forward, I hope at some point, somewhere along the line, I get to shake hands with each and every one of you. But if I don't do it in person, I'm doing it in spirit. This is the greatest moment in history. You guys all get to be here. Other people just dreamed of being here to see this thing get turned around and set aright and everything else. They dreamed of getting to be at this moment in time in the battle, and you're the ones that were chosen by God himself to be here. Man, it doesn't get any better. Let's go whoop these people's ass and take back our country and take back the planet and send the criminals to their needed judgment. God's justice be done. Constitutional justice be done. Citizen justice be done. Let's go take our country back.
Absolutely. And Juan, you have a good night. And like I said, thank you for all the time you spared with us.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my boots off so I can sneak back in the room without Mrs. Savage knowing.
You can blame us. Blame us, Juan.
It won't matter. Where have you been? I was getting cold. I was trying to find the missing monster cookie. I counted and I counted. I don't know what happened to it. You ate it earlier. Oh, okay. I wonder what happened. All right. Good night, folks. Love you all.
Love you, Juan. Have a good night. All right.